welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
He gets all the honor. He gets all the glory. He gets all the praise. So when you start out on this journey and you come in with your mindset from the world and you got that achievement-oriented thing, and I'm going to dot my I's and cross my T's and I'm going to get it right. And the more you try to get it right, you find yourself living in Romans 6 and 7. The more I good do good, wrong I'm doing. I'm messing up. I can't do this. Everything I say I want to do, I can't. And you have to cross all of those bridges and waters and roots until you find that place where it's not about me and what I'm doing. It's about me following you and let you do what you're doing. And that's when we find out that he gets all the glory. He gets all the praise. We are celebrating graduates today as well. But when we get to glory, there ain't going to be no names called. There's going to be one name, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. Because we realize day by day by day, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, where would I be? And to think that God can take us from our lowly beginnings. I'm a little girl from the hood down in South Philly. Ain't got no daddy, living with my aunt, all these kind of situations. But guess what? All roads lead to Rome. All roads led to the Lord. Hallelujah. So I can thank God for growing up in the hood, little girl in South Philly with no daddy. Oh, glory to his name. Because I heard somebody say it was a message title, but they said I took a DNA test and I found out that God was my father. Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm just excited today. Can you tell? God is awesome. I praise the Lord, too, for the music ministry today. I don't know about nobody else, but everything made my soul happy today. I praise the Lord for you seeking the Lord and following his lead. Amen. And we got a double blessing, triple blessing, all these in the family. But the bishop, he don't need to be in the family because he's the bishop. But praise the Lord. Praise the Lord today. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. Glory to God. I thank the Lord for giving me another opportunity to serve him. Doing anything. I'm excited. Bring me back, Lord. Bring me back. I just want to thank the Lord again, and I pray we're going to pray. That's what we're going to do. We're going to pray. Praise Jesus. Oh, blessed Father in heaven, God, we bow down before you right now. We bow down because we're so humbled by the magnificence of you. You're so awesome. You're so precious. You're so long-suffering. Lord, you keep on putting up with us. We ain't worried about the folks out there, but with us. God, we just thank you today. Thank you for continuing to look beyond our faults and see our needs, and you just keep on blessing us. Thank you that even in the midst of the pandemic, as Reverend Craig said, hey, you're still blessing us in the midst of everything. And you're not going to stop. Great is your faithfulness. You promised never to leave us and never to forsake us. You said, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. So, God, we just thank you for another day of worship, another day of praise. We thank you, Lord God, for the word that you have prepared for us. And we ask that you indeed would minister the word because it's your word. I'm going to stand up here, God, but I ask that you preach. Then, therefore, all of your purposes for the message will be achieved. Hide me, God. Hide me in you. Speak, Lord. Yes, sir. Preach, Lord. Yes, sir. And bless us all to have an encounter with you. Thank you, Father. Thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, our souls who say hallelujah, hallelujah. And amen. Amen. I have a few questions for you to ponder this morning. What have you had to wait on? Who have you had to wait on? Why have you had to wait? Waiting can be frustrating, can it? Please turn to Psalm 13, where we're going to encounter a frustrated David. Psalm 13. And when you get there, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Psalm 13, a psalm of David. And we'll read the entire psalm. Okay, those of you who are standing, praise the Lord. And the verse, the scripture reads as follows. Lord, give us an ear to hear you in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Oh, Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand? Turn and answer me, O Lord my God. Restore the sparkle to my eyes, or I will die. Don't let my enemies gloat, saying, "We have defeated him." Don't let them rejoice at my downfall. But I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me. Hallelujah. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. And the title of this word from the Lord today is Being in Love with the Frustrating God in 2020. The specific circumstances of the Psalms writing are unknown, though there is speculation that David wrote this when running either from Saul or his own son, Absalom. You come to the Redeemer Institute for Christian Education and you'll get the details. Amen. The theologian Spurgeon says, however, he says that if you want to link this psalm to any event, it's just mere conjecture. Nevertheless, David is frustrated. Psalm 13 is therefore a song of lament, a wailing. He's hollering out loud. And he's frustrated because God has been making him wait. And he has been making him wait to achieve victory over his enemies. Now, frustrate means to induce feelings of discouragement. Some of us do feel frustrated today. Oh, let the church say amen. David felt his hopes in God's intervention were dashed, nullified, worthless, and so he was frustrated. He felt his hope in God was getting him nowhere. Because we don't know the exact circumstances of the psalm, it's hard to pinpoint just how long David had been waiting on God at this time. No matter how long it was, David was heated. God has said that David was a man after his own heart in 1 Samuel 13, which lets us know that David was in a relationship with God. We know that David was a shepherd, which meant he spent a lot of time alone in the fields with the sheep. He obviously used that time to nurture his relationship with God. That's evident because David was a psalmist, a songwriter, and 73 psalms have been attributed to him. And some of them he wrote and sang to the Lord, and some were written about him. Although David was an adulterer and committed conspiracy to murder, he was quick to repent, to agree with God that he was wrong, and to mourn over his sin. We also know that God anointed David to be king 15 years before he actually became king. So David has had some experience waiting on God. But the circumstances of Psalm 13 have gotten to him. He can't believe that the God he loves so much, who has kept him from dangers when he was in the field and established him and enabled him, to fight off wild animals, the God who had comforted him so many times on many a lonely night when he was out there in the field with the sheep, the God who had blessed him to be a songwriter, who even called him a man after his own heart, was not answering him. Not this God. Not my God, David could say. Is there anybody here today that feels like David felt then? Have you been blessed to be in a close relationship with God and been the recipient of countless blessings from him? Awesome times of one-on-one fellowship with him? He has answered hundreds of your prayers. And even though you had to wait a little while before, It's never been like this. You've been pressing on in the ministry God has assigned to you. You're giving sacrificially. You're praying for others. You're going to Bible study even though you're worn out at the end of your work day, because although you've been working from home, it's been much more tedious. Oh, amen. They're expecting a lot more out of you when you're working at home. They want to make sure you're not taking a break. You've been taking low in situation after situation after situation because you believe God and know that he's faithful to his word. You're staying on that ministry, on that board, because you know it's God's will for you to be there, even though nothing is going your way. You're staying in that marriage because you believe God is able to make something beautiful out of it. You're staying on your job even though you haven't gotten the raise or the promotion you thought you deserved. You're staying on the choir even though you don't ever get to sing lead. And your voice is absolutely stunning. Glory to God. You've had to wait on God a while before, but now those close to you are asking, you still going to wait on God? I don't think God would make you wait all this time. You keep saying you're trusting God, but those people are making a fool out of you over there. When is that so-called healing coming? How do you know God's not waiting on you? Some of those folks who say they love you have actually been laughing at you because you're choosing to continue to wait on God, even though you can't believe he's taking this long. And even though you're frustrated with waiting, although he was frustrated too, David still cried out to the Lord, "Restore the sparkle to my eyes or I will die." Any of us been waiting on the Lord like that? We're like, "Lord, come on now. You got to come on. You got to come on, God. I feel like I'm going to die, God." He had been waiting so long that he felt like he was going to die without an answer from God. He knew if that happened, his enemies would gloat for real because they would think they had gotten the upper hand on him. Then something happened to David. Right in the midst of his prayer, David has an epiphany and he's transformed. He remembered God's past deliverances. He looked back over his shoulder. He said God had delivered him from the paw of the lion. And from the paw of the bear, and from that uncircumcised Philistine Goliath. He remembered all those times he had trusted in God's unfailing love, and God had never let him down. So he decided he was going to do it again. He was going to trust in God's unfailing love. Once David looked back, then he knew he could continue to wait. He said, "I will rejoice because you have rescued me before." Which means he's going to once again have reason to praise God. Amen. David exclaims in verse 6 that he's going to sing to the Lord. Why? Because he realized that he truly loved God. God had been good to him. It was God's love for David that caused him to love God. Oh, we only love him because he first loved us. 1 John 4:19. Let us not get it twisted. He decided to continue to wait on God because of the love they shared and God's past faithfulness. That's a word for somebody's marriage, about the love you once shared. Don't just throw it away. God's got a good record, y'all. Some of us here today are crying out like David because we too are frustrated, heated. And yes, we love God, but we're so tired of waiting. We love the Lord so much, but we're tired of hoping against hope, of still doing the right thing while so many seem to have no problem doing so much wrong. There are some today that thought they had gotten the upper hand on us as a race of people. And as a race of people, we can cry out like David this morning. Oh, Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must we struggle with anguish in our souls, with sorrow in our hearts every day? How long will our enemy have the upper hand? The horrors of racism in our world is before us like never before. Because of today's technology, everything is in our faces. We are now able to actually witness countless murders of African-American men and women, not in the make-believe world of movies or theater, but in real time. Yes, there were women as well, not just Breonna Taylor, but Natasha McKenna, 37 years old, tasered to death on video in jail on February 8, 2015. Michelle Cousseau, 50, shot and killed within seconds of police encountering her during a mental health call. And this happened 5 days after the death of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, back in 2015. Then there was 19-year-old Taisha Shanae Miller from Rubidoux, California, who was asleep in her car back on December 1998. The list goes on, and probably as far back as the history of African Americans in this country goes. And so we too cry out, how long, Lord? How long? Yes, we are frustrated by the ongoing horrors of racism, and we are also frustrated because of our present personal circumstances. We went to the Lord, broke, busted, and disgusted, and just about to catch a case. We came to him whining, moaning, fussing, and sometimes cussing. We said, stick a fork in me, I'm done. We were essentially saying the same thing David said. Lord, how long is this going to go on? How long are you going to let them treat me like this? How long are you going to let them overlook my abilities on that job? How long are you going to have me keep taking low in that particular situation? Lord, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of them. And I'm tired of waiting. If only you would let me handle this. Let me hear you say it, Deaconess Tawana. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you. But all we have to do is the same thing David did. Take a look over our shoulder. When I look back over my life, oh, hallelujah, the songwriter said, I got a testimony. Even as a people, if we just take a look back, it was our ancestors who survived that ungodly voyage from Africa to here. It was our ancestors who had the stamina and fortitude to persevere in the midst of unprovoked abuse and hatred. It was our ancestors who did what they had to do to survive the living hell they were enduring. It was our ancestors who, after being free, knew of so many others who were still being lynched and killed years after slavery was abolished. It was our ancestors who took the crap of Jim Crow laws and did what they had to do to provide for their families and to stay alive. It was our ancestors who couldn't read or write, but loved the Lord and prayed, even for us, generations they knew they would never see. It was some of us who benefited from affirmative action and yet suffered being thought an Uncle Tom because we were in high places. It was some of us who were the first to move into a white community and who had to tell some racist neighbor that we were there and we weren't going to take no tea for the fever, so they had better not start with us. It was some of us who got inferior educations while attending white schools and were constantly told to put our hands down while being relegated to the back of the classroom. It was some of us who had to hide under the bus seats when the school bus broke down in a white community and the neighbors yelled, "Get those black kids." And it was some of us today who our neighbors are surprised by our participation in Black Lives Matter, peaceful protests, and prayer walks because they didn't know that no matter how nice we may appear, we're black. We're African Americans. And our experience in this country is vastly different from theirs. But guess what, y'all? In spite of all our ancestors endured, and in spite of all we and our children are experiencing now, the one constant is that God brought us through. Yeah. And he is bringing us through. Amen. He made a way before, and he's making a way now. He planted the idea of the Underground Railroad into the minds and hearts of all those who helped bring African slaves to freedom. Harriet Tubman became a conductor on that railroad, along with Frederick Douglass, and Quaker abolitionists like Mary Coffin Wright and Thomas Garrett. God had to raise up some white folks to help us, y'all. Or we'd have still been down there picking cotton saying, yes, I'm Massa Boss. Little did those folks know all that God had planned for the African American in this country. He made us brilliant, multi-talented, and caused us to achieve and succeed in, dare I say, every area of society. And all the while enduring opposition. Look at God. He gave us Cab Calloway, Lena Horne, Billie Holiday, the one and only Marian Anderson, B.B. King, Aretha, Michael Jackson, and he used James Brown to teach us to say, say loud, I'm black and I'm proud. There was Jackie Robinson, Arthur Ashe, Michael Jordan, and Venus and Serena. There was Langston Hughes, Maya Angelou, Martin Luther King Jr., Malcolm X, Stokely Carmichael, also known as Kwame Ture, the Hidden Figures, Katherine Goble Johnson, Dorothy Vaughan, and Mary Jackson, Oprah Winfrey, Misty Copeland, the first African American female principal dancer in the American Ballet Theater. Then there's those EGOT winners. You know, they had Emmys, Grammys, Oscars, and Tonys. Whoopi Goldberg and John Legend. Black biblical historians like St. Augustine of Hippo. Expositors of the word and pastors like Nat Turner, Richard Allen, Leon Sullivan, and Jeremiah Wright. There was the first black congressman, Shirley Chisholm, Secretary of State, Condoleezza Wright. And last but not least, the first African-American two-term president, Barack Hussein Obama. Yeah. And there are thousands more, including you and me. Oh, glory to his name. God used a variety of ways and a variety of people, many whose names we know, but many we don't. But some kind of way, God made a way. And how do I know that? Because we're still standing. We're still here. Over 40 years ago, I penned this, this was my award-winning poem back then, but I think it's still relevant today. I was here, I am here, I will be here. Don't play games with me, don't be wise, because playing games I despise. When you tell those little white lies, trying to make me realize I should stay in my place, not join the human race, not show my face, try to erase the memories of my striving, driving towards my goal, to forget my inner soul, pretend I don't have a role, do as I'm told, be cold. Hey, I can't turn my back on those like me. We've been struggling too long. All we want is to be free. My people and I love life, understand? So we're always going to struggle to reach our goals, to succeed, to be a man. If not by anything else, by your standards, if we must. Because living our lives free and happy means a lot to us. So don't play games with me by messing with my mind. Because when I get it together, I won't be left behind. And if you check it out, you'll find I was here, I made it. I am here, I'm making it. And I will be here, surviving forever. Oh, glory to God, glory to God. Of all the folks who have ever walked the earth, there is one who chose to wait on God, the most important one, the one who took on human flesh, knowing God's awesome plan for his creation, the apples of his eye, human beings. Because of all this, he chose to do so, to wait on God's timing. Because he knew the Father's plan was perfect, that the Lord Jesus, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, in case somebody just tuning in didn't know. Galatians 4:4 says, but when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. No doubt, as the Lord Jesus looked down the corridors of time and saw the suffering of humanity at the hands of other humans, his heart was grieved. Yet, he waited on the Father's timing because he knew the Father's timing was perfect. My prayer for us today is that we would do like David and look back at all God has already brought us through, personally and as a people. Then we too can choose, like David, to sing to the Lord because he has been good to us. We too are in love with the frustrating God in 2020. And he is only frustrating to us because he makes us wait. Read the Bible, he made everybody wait. Our psalm today ended in a beautiful and powerful expression of renewed trust and confidence in God because of his unfailing love. David commits himself to praise because thinking of God's unfailing love helped him to move from grief to joy, from danger to salvation, from lament to praise. Today we sing, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, I thank God for saving me. Well, I heard on the news the other night that some white supremacists are making plans. But I also heard the songwriter Alyssa Smith say to our God, when it looks like I'm surrounded by you. Hallelujah. And that is indeed how we fight our battles. And that is how we continue to wait on our God, frustrated and all. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Because one thing we know what he says in his word is that we can be confident of this very thing. That he who had begun that good work in us, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And then he promised that he would never leave us and never forsake us. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody today out there tuned in said, what is this? Who is this church? I didn't know they let women preach. What is this? Somebody tuned in. And that's somebody you have never met this God. This God who loves completely but will nevertheless frustrate you from time to time. The testimony of his frustration of us, however, is that it is done in perfect love. And once we get to the place where the wait is over, oh, hallelujah, we find that it was for our good and his glory, and that it was good, so good for us that he made us wait. This God loves you, and he loves you just the way you are. Give him a chance today. Everything and everybody else is frustrating you, including yourself. It's time. Time to say yes to God, to his precious gift of salvation, of eternal life with him. So if you don't know the Lord today, and you say, how can I get to know him? It's a simple prayer. It's simple because it's not about the specific words you have to say. It's about what's going on in your heart when you say those words. There's many people who pray a sinner's prayer, but they never got saved because they were doing it for the wrong reason. So as we stand today, praise the Lord, let us all pray for those who do not yet know the Lord, and for that one, yes, you right there in your car. You right there in your kitchen. You right there, yeah, up in the bedroom. God knew you would be there, and he knew that you would tune in to this sermon today, and he had it preached just for you. And the prayer that you just pray is, Lord, will you please forgive me for my sins? Come into my life and be my Savior. And then you just ask him, Lord, guide me the rest of the way. Show me where to go, what to do. Get yourself a Bible. You have a Bible. Most people do have a Bible. Get it out. You know your grandmother left it. It's in that box in the basement. Go get it and open it up and just begin to read. And as you read, the Spirit of the living God will speak to you. Somebody else, you are saved. And you've drifted way far apart from the Lord in this pandemic because you haven't been able to get to church. But God had to teach you that the church is not in a building. The church is a living organism. And just as when David was out there by himself, you've been by yourself in this pandemic. What better time than to do some business with God? Don't fill it up with binge watching TV shows and movies. But spend it up. Spend some time with him. And talk to him about how you got off track. You're going through the motions. You were coming to church every week before the pandemic. But you never fully committed yourself to the Lord. Praise the Lord. God says he wants all of you. And then for those who need a church home, hey, here's a church home right here online. Glory to God. If the Lord is leading you to become a part of the Church of the Redeemer Baptist, then contact us. And God will show us how to disciple you virtually. Oh, our God is a creative God. Amen. He's a creative God. So praise the Lord for his word, and praise the Lord that he is indeed a frustrating God. But he frustrates us only because he loves us. Hallelujah.
This is how I fight my battles.